Yo, what's happening, everybody? My name is Anthony Correnti, and thank you, as always, for checking out another episode of the Dynasty Drive. I appreciate all of the support, as always. If you're new to the podcast, you can follow me on Twitter at Dynasty Drive. You can follow the show on Instagram at the Dynasty Drive. You can like the show on Facebook. And we've got new episodes coming out every Monday morning on all your favorite podcast providers. And this is episode number 101. So we've crossed 100 episodes. I appreciate all the support, as always. And for everybody that entered the giveaway that I ran on Twitter, kind of in celebration of 100 episodes. So we'll pick a winner there randomly and give somebody a NFL jersey of their choosing. But on today's episode of the show, flying solo, and kind of wanted to check in on the class of wide receivers from 2021. So good group got drafted last year. Wanted to kind of check in now that we're training camps are rolling along, Hall of Fame games in the books, preseason's cooking, you know, we're regular season's right around the corner. Just wanted to check in on kind of current state of affairs for all of these players or the notable players that were selected in the 2021 NFL draft at the wide receiver position. It's a loaded group. A lot of it lived up to expectations, some not so much yet, but let's dive right into it. First wide receiver off the board, obviously, was selected fifth overall by the Cincinnati Bengals, Ja'Marr Chase. Not a lot to say about Ja'Marr Chase. Ja'Marr Chase is wide receiver one in Dynasty for me. It's neck and neck, him and Justin Jefferson. I don't fault anybody who has Jefferson ahead of him, but Ja'Marr Chase is a stud, arguably, you know, the most valuable non-quarterback in Superflex formats. He's elite. I would expect him to continue to be elite. No reason not to. If you have him, congratulations. If you're in startups, you're going to have to draft him in the first round. And if you're going to trade for him, you're going to have to pay through the nose a pretty penny. He's an elite talent paired with a young elite quarterback. And that offense should be clicking for quite some time there. So as good as this rookie season was in 2021, the arrow is still pointing up on Ja'Marr Chase. It's a fun offense, and there's a real good chance that the best is yet to come for Ja'Marr Chase. You know, it's pretty crazy, the rookie season, and it'll be tough to follow that up, but we've seen guys like Justin Jefferson accomplish that task, so no reason to think somebody as talented as Chase kind of can't live up to the hype from here on out. One pick after Ja'Marr Chase went was Jalen Waddle by the Miami Dolphins. Former Crimson Tide wide receiver selected by the Dolphins. He was my wide receiver, too, heading into the 2021 NFL draft. And boy, did he deliver last year in his rookie season. Kind of gets overshadowed a little bit by Ja'Marr Chase's explosive year. But all Waddle did was contribute week in, week out. He was a target monster. He contributed weekly, hauled in a ton of passes, crossed 1,000 yards as a rookie. And now he has the benefit of, I'm not super worried about, like, obviously he'll command less of the market now that Tyreek Hill is in Miami, but a guy like Jalen Waddle playing across from a proven elite talent like Tyreek Hill is not all bad. I mean, if defenses are going to have to pick and choose who they want to roll coverage towards between Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, Waddle's going to get to blow up some spots for sure. It might be something where maybe he's not so successful on the back of a ton of catches like he was in 2021, but maybe we get a lot more big plays and that, you know, yards per catch goes up. Maybe the touchdown number goes up. Jalen Waddle's an elite wide receiver. He's locked in as a wide receiver one for me still, despite Tyreek Hill joining the Miami Dolphins this offseason. No reason to be down on Jalen Waddle. Number 10. Or selected 10th overall, sorry, in the 2021 NFL draft was Jalen Waddle's former teammate, Devontae Smith, by the Philadelphia Eagles. And Devontae Smith has kind of a weird thing going on right now where he's become a tremendous value, in my opinion, following the Eagles trading for A.J. Brown. But he's become way, way too cheap. There's plenty of scenarios where in startup drafts you're able to select Devontae Smith as your wide receiver three. He's going much too late. He's an incredibly talented wide receiver who, similar to Waddle, now has the benefit of playing across from another proven NFL wide receiver. So sure, maybe the market share is commanded or dictated by A.J. Brown, but Devontae Smith is a very, very good player who had over 900 yards receiving as a rookie and should continue to be an ascending talent. We have not seen the best from Devontae Smith yet. I firmly believe that. And if he's going to be a value the way he is right now, I've pounced as many times as I could this offseason in startups with his value for whatever reason. I don't want to say plummeting. That's a bit hyperbolic, but he's become too cheap is the point. For the talent that he is, and we're not even projecting anymore, right? For the talent that he was coming out of college, there was some projection. But for the talent that we've seen on an NFL field with Jalen Hurts, who, you know, like him or hate him, and I'm not the biggest believer in him long-term as a franchise quarterback, but he had over 900 yards receiving as a rookie with Jalen Hurts. There's no reason for me to believe that he can't eclipse 1,000 yards this year, even despite A.J. Brown being there. I love Devontae Smith as a target in startups this offseason, and I think he has a very, very good shot to outperform ADP in the short term, but still be an incredibly valuable dynasty asset moving forward. Two more first-round wide receivers. We had five total in the 2021 class. So selected 20th overall was Kadarius Toney by the New York Giants, and I was kind of notably out on Toney last year. Wasn't a huge fan, undeniably talented, but didn't have a ton of shares going into the season. I'm more in on Toney now with some adults in the room for the Giants, new front office, new coaching staff. Like the direction that things are headed there. Seems like they've got things going in the right direction. And even still, following the 2022 draft when the Giants selected Wandale Robinson out of Kentucky, I was kind of in wait-and-see mode on the Giants wide receiver group altogether. So I wanted to see, like, what's the plan on deploying Toney and Robinson? What is this offense going to look like? It seems like the Giants are going to be creative enough with both Toney and Robinson that I'm more in on both of those players now. Robinson's a different story for a different day. But Toney, I didn't love if you had to take him in round one of rookie drafts last year, but now you can take him even later than Devontae Smith, but late enough in startups that I think it's worth the dice roll just on the talent alone. We saw some of what he could do in the open field. He's built different in terms of being able to move in the open field, pretty special there. And if they're going to get creative in their with their usage of him, he's talented enough that it's absolutely worth a dice roll. And the last wide receiver that went in the first round was Rashad Bateman to the Baltimore Ravens. And kind of similar to Toney, I don't want to say I was out on Bateman, but I was kind of out on Bateman at cost last year. I just didn't end up with a ton of shares because there was always somebody willing to pay more than I was for Rashad Bateman, which is fine. I don't think he's a bad player. I think he's a fine player. And I think he, outside of Mark Andrews, you know, should pace the Baltimore wide receivers and targets. The passing attack will still get funneled through Mark Andrews. But in terms of wide receiver talent there in Baltimore, Rashad Bateman is obviously the guy. I just wonder, you know, how much is left for Bateman after Mark Andrews does what he does, and, you know, what's left for him to take. He's talented. He absolutely should be the most prolific or productive wide receiver for the Baltimore Ravens this year. I just don't know how big that looks. What I have Rashad Bateman projected right now is for 18% of the receiving market share. That came out to 110 targets, 75 catches, 862 yards, and 7 receiving touchdowns. So not a bad year, but, you know, a clear second fiddle to the 24% of the market that I have Mark Andrews contributing to. I think he will be the absolute target hog there. Bateman's got a shot at breaking that 1,000-yard barrier, but I think it could be difficult just depending how much work actually goes his way. All right, second round wide receivers. This was a this was an interesting group. One at the top that I'm, you know, of course, biased towards, and then some grossness along the way, and still some guys we're holding out hope for. So 34th overall, my New York Jets selected Elijah Moore. Look, I think Elijah Moore is locked in as a wide receiver too, heading into this season. Everything through the early parts of training camp and even through mini camp has been that Elijah Moore has established himself as the number one target for Zach Wilson and the New York Jets. I think that he will get all the work he can handle. I think he will eclipse 1,000 yards this season in his second year. And we'll see. We saw when he stayed healthy through a couple different quarterbacks, he was very, very, very good in the middle of last season. So as long as he can stay healthy, based on the rapport him and Wilson are generating right now or establishing right now in training camp, I think really positive things are set to come this season for Elijah Moore. Selected 49th overall last year. Another Moore. More Moores. the Arizona Cardinals selected Rondell Moore. And kind of similar to Kadarius Toney, I was sort of out on Rondell last year because, and kind of similar to Rashad Bateman in a way, there was always somebody willing to pay a higher price on Rondell Moore. I don't dislike him as a player or dislike the talent. And I know why so many people loved him in the very early crazy breakout at Purdue and super athletic. Lots to really like there, but I was never really in at cost. But similar to some of these other guys, cost has shifted enough now that we're out of 2021 rookie draft season into startup season in 2022 and beyond, or the trade market for Rondell Moore right now and beyond, then I think the price is much lower and lines up much better with his potential range of outcomes. I still don't think he's somebody that I don't feel good about it if he's my wide receiver 3 or 4 and I have to rely on him pretty regularly. But if I can stash him on my bench and hope that things take a positive step this year, I'm okay with that if I can get him cheap enough. And we got a couple guys who did nothing in the second round. So 56 overall was Dwayne Eskridge. 57 overall was Tutu Atwell. 59 overall was Terrace Marshall Jr. Not a lot. Not a lot good happened there. Dwayne Eskridge wasn't able to, get anything going last year. Same for Tutu. I don't know that, either of these guys will ever be reliable fantasy contributors. Terrace Marshall Jr. still has a shot. There's been some positive stuff through camp so far this year. Baker Mayfield should be a step in the right direction for him from what they've had at quarterback over the past, through the last year when Terrace Marshall was a junior. I'm sorry, not a junior, a rookie. So I'm still holding out some hope for Terrace Marshall Jr. I don't feel very confident. I've likened it a couple times to what I held on too long with Denzel Mims heading into last year. And I hope that Terrace Marshall is better than Denzel Mims. But I just worry that, he wasn't able to really get anything going last year. Hopefully we can see something this year, a glimpse in the right direction. All right, third round guys. So there was a few here. We had in the third round, just real quick, we'll lump these guys together and then talk through them. In the third round, we had the Chargers select Josh Palmer, 77th overall. Washington Commanders select Dyami Brown, 82nd overall. The Packers selected Amari Rodgers, 85th overall. The Texans selected Nico Collins, 89th overall. And the Cleveland Browns selected Anthony Schwartz, 91st overall. So of that group, the two I'm most excited about moving forward, Nico Collins, number one. I think Nico has a really, really good shot at establishing himself and being relevant, maybe not on a weekly basis, but there's going to be times where Nico helps you win some games. I think Nico Collins is a talented player, and somebody's going to demand some work outside of Brandon Cooks in Houston. People laugh it off, the Houston thing, Davis Mills. But hey, Davis Mills was not bad for Brandon Cooks last year. Davis Mills was not really bad by any stretch last year. So I think that they're going to have to throw the ball, and somebody's going to have to get the work there outside of Brandon Cooks. I think Brandon Cooks is the clear-cut, obvious answer to command most of the work. But Nico Collins is the next guy there. He's athletic. He's big. He should be able to carve out a role there for the Texans with not much ahead of him. Josh Palmer, I think there could be a semi-breakout there. It's a high-powered offense, elite young quarterback. He's got a couple guys ahead of him, obviously, and Mike Williams and Keenan Allen that are going to, get the targets funneled their way. But in the event that one of those guys were to go down, God forbid, to injury, Palmer obviously steps into a role that could be very, very fruitful for him and for fantasy managers. But even still, I think he can carve out a role there and have some sneaky value for people that have room to hold him on their bench right now. So the third round, really day two in general, wasn't super fruitful in the short term, right? And what we saw from just their rookie seasons. And I know for years we've been saying like, oh, the depth of these receiver classes, the depth of these receiver classes. And it's true. Like it's a very good receiver class again, but a lot of it was in round one. Elijah Moore looks like a hit in round two. And then there's a lot of questions on the rest of day two still. And we'll get into the guys that were picked on day three. Some have shown something, but a lot have shown, nothing, or we're waiting to see if they show anything, but it's been a lot of nothing from day three so far, aside from one guy who we know who that is, but we'll talk about him in a second. So through the first and second days of the 2021 NFL draft, pretty much all the hits were early on, right? We knew Chase would hit. We felt good Waddle would hit. We knew Smith was going to be talented. And then we still have some questions about Tony and Bateman and Elijah Moore. So of those first, one, two, three, four, six that got drafted, you feel pretty good about at least four of them. That's great. Day two, way more question marks. After Elijah Moore, it's a lot of question marks. I feel the best about Nico Collins. I really like Dyami Brown, but it doesn't seem like it's going to happen, especially after they re-signed Terry McLaurin. They draft Jahan Dotson. So we'll see. But I'm not holding my breath on anything crazy for Dyami Brown. And maybe Amari Rodgers can, manage to carve out a role for the Packers now that Davante Adams isn't in town. But, I think that team is going to, they're still going to throw the ball, but I think they're going to have to get creative in how they throw the ball and where they throw the ball to, and rely on a running game that features two very, very good running backs. All right, day three of the draft. Let's just rapid fire through these guys that got drafted and then talk through what matters. 109th overall, the Titans selected Dez Fitzpatrick. 112th overall, the Lions selected Amon-Ra St. Brown, who had no business falling to day three of the NFL draft. Number 129th overall, the Bucs select Jalen Darden. 131, the Ravens took Tylan Wallace. 141, the Rams select Jacob Harris. 157, the Vikings took Amir Smith-Marset. 179, the Cowboys took Simi Fehoko. 181, the Chiefs took Cornell Powell. 187, the Falcons took Frank Darby. 203, Marquez Stevenson to the Bills. 204, Shai Smith to the Panthers. 205, Racy McMath to the Titans. 209, Jalen Camp to the Jaguars. 211, Demetri Felton to the Browns. Hybrid kind of running back wide receiver there. 219 with Seth Williams to the Broncos. 221, Daz Newsome to the Bears. 229, Mike Strachan to the Colts. 242, Trey Nixon to the Pats. 249, Ben Skowronek to the Rams. 255, Kawan Baker to the Saints. And 258, Dax Milne to the Washington Commanders. So, it's Amon-Ra and everybody else. There's not a lot I'm really holding my breath on hitting here in day three. And in day three, it's, dice rolls across the board. Amon-Ra St. Brown showed out as a rookie. I know that the Lions drafted Jameson Williams. I think those two can absolutely coexist when Jameson Williams is healthy and back on the field. But everything through the offseason has been positive about Amon-Ra, that they love this guy. They want to run the offense through this guy. Amon-Ra St. Brown is going to be involved. The value got hot for a minute, then took a dip after Jameson Williams got drafted. I'm still all in on Amon-Ra. I think if you can have him as your wide receiver three, you're in a great spot, because I think more often than not, he can put up some wide receiver two kind of numbers for you. There is not a lot else I'm holding my breath on from day three of the 2021 NFL draft at the wide receiver position. I loved Tylan Wallace. I hope that he can carve out a role there for the Ravens, but it seems kind of like an uphill battle right now. It seems like he's got James Prochet ahead of him. Seems like he's got Devin Duvernay ahead of him. Obviously, Rashad Bateman ahead of him. The tight ends, it's, what happens behind Mark Andrews? Does Isaiah Likely command more work than Tylan Wallace does? I loved Tylan Wallace, but I'm not holding my breath right now. And, some of the guys that people got excited about or liked his prospects, like Seth Williams. I know some people were really high on him coming out of Auburn, lands with the Broncos. None of these guys really did much of anything to give you any real positive feelings heading into 2022 outside of Amon-Ra St. Brown. And, maybe one of these guys or a couple of these guys step up. Amir Smith-Marset is still a little bit interesting to me on the Vikings depth chart, but, obviously that show runs through Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen for the time being. But you know, maybe in the future he can carve out a role for himself there, but we'll see. But yeah, not a lot after Amon Ra on day three of the 2021 NFL draft at wide receiver, which I think could be a little bit of a cautionary tale, right? We work ourselves up into a lather all the time. Now, come draft season and the depth of the class, and it's easy to fall in love with some of these prospects, but the reality is that not only do not all of them hit, but very few of them hit. And, you know, if very few of them hit, not even the majority of them ever carve out any sort of relevance at all. So just an interesting thing to kind of keep hold of or keep tabs on. But that'll do it for this week's episode. Nothing too long, nothing too crazy. Just wanted to check in and run on through a class that was exciting coming in and see how we feel about it, you know, a year plus removed. Now that we've seen some or most of these guys play some actual NFL football. So some exciting names at the top, and even through some of day two, and, you know, Amon Ra obviously on day three, but some guys worth holding out for to see what happens. So I appreciate everybody listening to another episode of the podcast. We'll be back next week with episode 102. We'll keep things rolling, update some stuff through preseason, and we'll talk to you guys then. Thanks.